Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
Are you ready to study the Word of God, yes or no? All right, let's get to it. I want to continue the series, How to Build Your Best Life, How to Build Your Best Life. Today, we're going to talk about the journey of wisdom, what a journey of wisdom looks like, and I'll explain that more in just a few seconds, but excuse me, we're going to go back to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, and again, this portion of Scripture has been kind of the foundation that we built this series upon. This is going to be James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask Pastor Justin because he has a lot of it. And I am really actually sincerely glad you laughed at that because can I tell you this, everybody? All the wisdom that I have in my life is because I learned it from the Lord, from his word. God is our source of wisdom. So that's not what the Bible says, is it? Everybody say, no, that's not what it says. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask not your pastor, not your spouse, not your best friend, not social media, definitely not social media. You should ask God. You should ask God because he's the source of wisdom, everybody. And he gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I've got some good news for you today, everybody. That no matter what your past has been like, no matter the amount of sin that you've committed in your life, no matter what you've gone through, all of the bad decisions, and if you look around now and you say, wow, my life is a wreck, or maybe you say, yeah, you know, my life is pretty decent. No, I'm telling you, the Bible says, without finding fault, if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you. How many of those? That's good news. That tells you the grace and the mercy and the love and the compassion and the patience of our Heavenly Father. That teaches you about the character and the nature and the will of God, that he wants you to live a great life, so much so that he said, no matter what's in your past, without finding fault, I'll give you wisdom if you just come to me for it. If you just run to me, if you seek me for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you. You just got to come to me. You got to go after me. You got to ask me for it. And when you do that, I'll give it to you. He is so good, everybody. He's a good Heavenly Father. He's a good Father. And by the way, the Bible says that he's such a good Father. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. All of his gifts are good and perfect. Did you know that, everybody? He's not going to give you anything that you don't need or don't want. He's going to give you good and perfect gifts. They're very gracious gifts. And one of the things that he'll give you if you ask is just wisdom. It's just wisdom. It's wisdom. So I'm going to teach you a portion of Scripture today that in 21 years of pastoring, I don't think I've ever taught on this portion of Scripture. I remember reading it as a child. No doubt I was, probably 8, 9, 10 years old somewhere in there. And I remember reading this story about Solomon and, him asking for wisdom and then the evidence of the wisdom that he had in his life. And I remember being so astounded as a child, thinking, wow, that's so brilliant. That's so brilliant. Well, it's a very famous portion of Scripture found in 1 Kings chapter 3. And I will tell you a little bit of the history here, what's going on, that King David he's been the king now for a little while, but he had just died, and the kingdom has been given over to his son Solomon. Solomon has not reigned. At this point, he's not reigned for an incredibly long amount of time. But the Bible says in the previous chapter that his authority, his kingship has been firmly established in the kingdom. So he's not only reigning, but everybody's looking to him for help. Like he's the source, what they would say, the source of help in the kingdom, the source of wisdom in the kingdom, the one who's going to make us, you know, really live great lives or really live terrible lives, because everybody would look to the king, and whatever the king did and however the king lived would determine how they would actually live their lives. And so Solomon is king, and something significant happens in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. It says this, it says that night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? What do you want? Ask, and I'll give it to you. Ask, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon's answer It's found in verse 9. He says this, give me an understanding. So he's talking to the Lord. Give me an understanding heart so that, watch this, I can govern your people well. Let's stop right there. He said, give me an understanding heart because I know you've made me a leader and I want to lead others well. I want to tell you all something this morning. If you have influence over any person in your life, if God has given you any influence whatsoever, you are a leader. You're a leader. You carry influence. If you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a grandparent, you're a leader. If I'm telling you, at work, if you have any person that is subordinate, somebody underneath you, you are a leader. Can I tell you, all of you have influence in somebody else's life. If you have a friend that listens to you, you are a leader. If you are a best friend of somebody, I promise you, you're a leader. They're going to lean into you. So all of us are leaders. And he said, God, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well, so that I can be a good leader. And also to know the difference between right and wrong. Now, we've talked about this in the past, that concerning truth, that if you do not go to God for truth, if you do not go to God to determine to determine what's right and wrong, then how will you know what's right and wrong? And you say, well, I have a conscience. I can determine what's right and wrong. No, you can't. Not without the Lord's help. Meaning this, everybody, if you say that this is right, but I look at whatever this is, I look at it and say, actually, that's totally wrong. Well, who wins? Because if you think you can determine truth, if you think you can determine what's right and wrong, then that means that I also have the ability now to determine what's right or wrong in my life. And it's that whole thing that, well, your truth is your truth and my truth is my truth. And I'm telling you, everybody, that's a crock. It's not true. It's not true. Because what if I come up to you and I think stealing is fine, so I just take your wallet? Well, you're going to get mad at that. Why? Because it might be true for me, but it's wrong for you. You're going to say, well, that's wrong. Oh, no, actually, I've just determined that it's right. So I'm going to go ahead and spend all of your money. You're like, well, Pastor Justin, that's just wrong. Well, how do you know it's wrong? Because it defies the character and the nature and the will of God and the word of God. It goes against the very character, person of who God is. Everybody see this. So Solomon is saying, listen, I'm smart enough to know that I don't have the ability to determine what's right in this world and what's wrong in this world because I've been born with a sin nature. So let me say like this, everybody. Every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have convinced ourselves at some point that when we committed that certain sin, that it was justified. Well, I deserve this. But I want this, or it's never going to be missed, or they won't even realize it. At some point, that sin in your life, you justified it. Like nobody would know. I remember the first thing that I think I ever remember being corrected for. Now, I'm sure there were a lot of correction beyond that, but my mom is in the room. She knows this story very well, that when I was just a little guy, probably first grade type of deal, we went to the store, a little bitty store in town, and I remember taking a piece of gum, going out to the car, and my mom said, where did you get that piece of gum? I'm like, well, it was just right in there. Like, it was, like, didn't you see it? I'm like, come on. And she's like, you know, you can't take that. That's stealing. And so she made me go back inside. This is good parenting, by the way. She made me go back inside and give that little piece of gum back to the cashier and apologize to in fact repent for taking that piece of gum. And the cashier's like, no, he doesn't have to do it. And my mom's like, if you know my mom, yeah, oh yes, he does. Like, yeah, how many has a mom like that? You have a mom like, I'm grateful for moms like that because you're teaching your children, hey, there is right and there is wrong. And we're gonna live the life that does what's right. But how do you know what right is if you don't know the character, the person, the nature of God? See, stealing is wrong because God is generous. Everybody see that? Because God gives. Hate is wrong because God is love. Lying is wrong because God is truth. See, every sin opposes the very character and the nature and the will of God. And what Solomon is saying, God, I want to know the difference between right and wrong. What you could say like this, God, I want to know you more. Because once I know you more, I'll be able to understand the difference between right and wrong. And not only the difference between it, but actually why it's right or why it's wrong. So he goes to God, he said, God, I need some wisdom. I need an understanding heart so I can be a good leader. I can know right from wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? He's saying, listen, God, I cannot live out my purpose in life without your help. I'm relying on you to fulfill the purpose that you've placed upon my life. And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. And by the way, everybody, the Bible goes on to say that God not only gave him the wisdom, and it was his to give because he's the source of wisdom, but he also gave Solomon riches. He made him famous. He said, I'm gonna give you all of the things that most people would have asked for, but you didn't. I'm gonna give those things to you anyway because you asked for the right thing. If God allowed you one request, ask something of me, and I'll give it to you. What would you ask for? What would you ask for? Like right now, sitting right here now, I guarantee you, a lot of you in this room said, oh, Pastor, I need some money. That's not what Solomon asked for. He said, no, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. I'm going to fulfill my purpose well. And I want to know you better so I can know the difference between right and wrong. Like, I just need wisdom in my life. How many think it would be awesome if one of your children came to you and said, you know, Dad, I know, here's another $20 bill. Go, no, Dad, I don't want any money. Can I just sit down and listen to what you have to say? Like, man, my child would never do that. Well, that's because they need to grow in wisdom. And so do you, and so do I. You know, one of the evidences of this wisdom is this is the part that I remember as a child reading and thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. And I think it was pretty cool because of the types of books I was reading back in the day. I loved working things out. I loved, figuring Encyclopedia Brown. Did anybody else read Encyclopedia Brown besides me? That you guys don't, I am such a redneck, everybody. Okay, we're two rednecks in the house right here. He's like this young kid that he would always work out. There was always a mystery. There was always something that he had to solve. And because he was so smart, he solved all of these mysteries. And I just thought those books were the best. I just read them all the time, these little short stories of Encyclopedia Brown all the time. And so this really stood out to me as a child. And what's happened is there are two women that have both had babies within just a few days of each other. One of them, they're sleeping with their newborns at nighttime. One of them accidentally rolls over on the child, no doubt suffocates the child, and the child dies. Well, this scheming woman takes the dead child, gives it to the other woman who's still asleep, and takes the live child to herself. So she exchanges babies. And then the other woman wakes up and realizes there's a dead baby. But not only that, it's not her baby. And so she looks at the other mom and says, hey, that's my child. The one who's living is my child. Why do you have my child? And why is your baby dead? And of course, the other woman says, I don't know what you're talking about. This live child is the one who's mine. Well, it got so escalated that it ended up going before the king. It ended up going before King Solomon. And watch how this reads in 1 Kings 3, 23. It says, then the king said, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each says that the dead one belongs to the other. All right, bring me a sword. So a sword was brought to the king. And then he said, cut the living child in two and give half to one woman and half to the other. And then the woman who was the real mother of the living child, who loved him very much, cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child. Please don't kill the baby. But the other woman said, all right, he'll be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. And the king said, don't kill the child. It was just a test. But give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother. And word spread throughout the entire kingdom of this story. And everybody started to trust and respect Solomon because of his wisdom, because of his wisdom. Can I tell you something, everybody? If you want to be respected, especially for all of the men in the room, respect is a big deal in the life of a man. Men in the room, if you want people to respect you, you don't lord your authority over them. You don't threaten them. You don't do it through fear or manipulation. You know how you win the respect of others? You live a life of wisdom. You live a life of faith in God, confidence in God. When you live a life of wisdom, respect for you will naturally be in place. See, wisdom is not giving in to emotions, but giving in to truth. So if you're trying to earn everybody's respect, but you fly off the handle at any moment, guess what you're doing? You're doing the opposite of what you really long for. See, when you fly off the handle and get mad and you let your emotions get the best of you and you start barking out things or yelling out things or, you know, you get all huffy puffy, you walk away. People don't look up to you when you do that. They look down at you when you do that. But wisdom doesn't let emotions control the person. Wisdom says, you know what? I'm going to behave the way that God wants me to behave. I'm going to act the way he wants me to act. I'm going to talk the way he wants me to talk. And when you reflect Jesus in your life and live a life of wisdom, I'm telling you, people will just respect you naturally. You don't have to work for it. It'll just be given to you. It'll be given to you. You'll be a person of authority, not because you created that authority, but because people gave it to you due to the wisdom that you live out in your life. I'm going to prove that to you even more this morning. So, as I was thinking about this story and the journey of wisdom, it came to me, I realized something that I'd learned a long time ago. There are four methods of learning, and you need to write these down. This is going to go pretty quick. Four methods of learning, and this is going to make all the sense in the world to you. The first one is the easy way. The easy way learns from other people's mistakes. Learns from other people's mistakes. How many of you ever had a sibling that got in trouble all the time? You're like, I ain't doing that. Because you learn the easy way. You learn from the mistakes of your sibling. Anybody like that in here besides me? I learned things not to do because my brother did them, you know, and suffered for it. Well, I didn't want to suffer for it. I thought, well, I'm not going to do that. That leads to turmoil. So it's the easy way. The next one is, it's the hard way. The hard way learns from your own mistakes. The easy way learns from the mistakes of others. The hard way says, oh no, I've made the mistake. And now it's a lesson learned. So it's when, you know, again, people come in and they'll tell me about these mistakes that they've made. And I kind of smile and say, well, you'll never do that again. Like lesson learned. You had to learn it the hard way, but it's a lesson learned. Lesson learned. Now, there's a third way. This is the tragic way. The tragic way is when you don't learn from either. That's tragic, everybody. When you are so prideful that you just think you got life figured out, you don't learn from others' mistakes, you don't learn from your own mistakes, you're just going to do what you want to do all the time. And can I tell you, it just ends in tragedy. It's a tragic way to live life. Let me say it a different way. When you live an unteachable life, when you're unteachable, When you don't learn from others, you don't learn from yourself, you're just going to do things your way in your time, you don't care. I mean, you're just barreling through life. Can I tell you, you're going to suffer tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Four ways: the easy way, the hard way, the tragic way. But here's God's way. God's way is realizing to look up instead of around. So I'm going to learn wisdom. I'm going to grow in wisdom, not because I'm seeking sources around me, like men and women around me. I'm going to go to the source of all wisdom, who is God the Father. I'm going to run to him because he's the source of wisdom. So God's way is that you look up, you look to him instead of looking at others. Now, I'm going to talk about that just for a second. That's what James says. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Why? Because he is wise. He is the source of all wisdom. So go to God first. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if any of you lack wisdom, you should talk to Pastor Justin. Or if any of you lack wisdom, you should talk to your best friend. Or if any of you should lack wisdom, you should go on social media. No, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God and he'll give it freely to you. But you have to go to him. You have to go to him. So you look up to God instead of around at others. So now that begs the question, do people would say, well then, does that mean other people don't have wisdom to share? No, they do, they do. I'm talking about priority. Priority is I go to God first. I pray first. I read the word first. I get to know the character and the nature and the will of God first. And I'm telling you, if you know who God is and what God's word says, you'll be surprised about the number of questions that you no longer ask because you know God and you know his word. There are things, everybody, can I tell you, I'm gonna say it this way. There are certain things that I know to be true about God because it's in his word, it's in his character, his nature, his will. There are things, lots of things in my life I don't have to pray about. I don't have to pray about it. If God's word says give, to be generous, I'm just going to be generous. If I feel in my heart like I need to talk to somebody about the Lord, then I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. Why? Because that's in the heart of God. It's the devil would never tell me to do it. So if I have that inclination, you know what? I need to go talk to somebody, encourage them, pray with them. I need to talk to them about Jesus. And a lot of Christians are like, well, I probably should pray about that first. And I look at them and say, why? Why do you have to pray about that? If you have a thought that says, you know what? I need to talk to somebody about Jesus, or I need to pray with somebody. Can I tell you something? I don't have to pray about those things. I've just learned the voice of the Holy Spirit. I realize that the devil would never tell me to do it, so I'm just going to be obedient and do it. I try not to waste time. I just go there, and you're like, well, Pastor Justin, you're a people person. Well, I am, and that certainly helps. I'm telling you, I could talk to a frog in the middle of a swamp, everybody. I don't care. Like, I can talk to anybody anytime. Now, and so it comes easy for me. But you know what I've also found out is that a lot of people, in fact, this past week, my wife and I were gone, and I had to tell her multiple times. I said, I didn't start that conversation. They started it with me. She's like, there he is talking to more people. I didn't start it. I wasn't looking to talk. She came out one time. She came out to get me. And I was sitting. this is so cool. I was sitting around a bunch of guys. In fact, two tables filled with guys and girls. And I was the only white one there, everybody. I was the only white guy there. And she's like, well, I saw you, and I thought, well, what's going on with it? I said, babe, they just sat down. Like I didn't invite them to the table. I wasn't talking to them. They just looked at me and said, hey, can we sit here? I'm like, absolutely. Well, what am I doing? I'm thinking, is this a God moment? I don't have to pray if I'm going to talk to them about the Lord. I'm just going to talk to them about the Lord because I just take it for granted that God put them in my life for that short season of time. Everybody see that? So there's some things that I know about God, that I know about his heart. I don't have to pray about him. I know his heart. I know his word. So I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to live my life. But there are other things that I do have to pray about. Did you know that I don't have every answer to every question asked? That there are some times in life where you'll face a decision and you won't know what you, the Bible isn't black and white about it. Let's say, for instance, that you got offered a new job. Well, you're like, well, I've been with this company for 20 years and, you know, I have this stored up and I've accomplished this and I still have yet this to go and I love who I work with. But then I was offered this job and it makes more money, but the hours are different and I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Can I tell you, that's one of those gray areas that the Bible, there's never a verse in the Bible that says, as soon as you're offered a promotion, always take it. Did you know that? That verse is not in the Bible. So what do you do? Well, the Bible says that there's wisdom in the counsel of many. That you also, as we talked about last week, you go to others, you get advice from others. You respect those who have gone further down the road than you have and have done it successfully. So yeah, to go to others and say, hey, can you help me out? I'm in a gray area and I don't know what to do. Absolutely. Go to God first, know who God is, pray about it. But then if you still don't know the answer, go and talk to some other people who are wiser than you. In fact, that's a very godly thing to do. But you have to get the order right. Priorities matter. And here's the priority. God first. Okay, so I'm going to give you then how to build your best life. But I want to start by giving you the culture's version of your best life. Okay, here is culture's version of your best life. This is what culture will tell you. This is what social media will tell you, or television and movies and the Hallmark Channel. Everybody will tell you this. They'll say something to the effect of, just follow your heart. Because if you follow your heart, you can't go wrong. Just follow your heart. And you get goosebumps. Oh, I just want to follow my heart. It's so beautiful. No, it's not. It's wrong. It's a crock. Did you know that, everybody? Every time I hear somebody on television, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. You can't go wrong. Oh, you'll go wrong. You'll go wrong. Because this is just an example. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. I didn't write that verse, but it's there. And I have found it to be true. Why? Because when I followed my heart, it oftentimes led to sin and bad decisions and really tragic endings when I followed my heart. Because my heart is deceitful. See, when you and I were born with a sin nature. So if I stood up here and just said, hey, New Song, just follow your heart and you'll always make the right choice, I would be lying to you. So if I always followed my heart, there would have been a lot of black eyes in my past. I would have left a lot of black eyes. You know what I'm talking about? If I followed my heart, I promise you other people would have suffered. If I followed my heart, I would have wounded a lot of people with my words. Everybody know what I'm talking about now. Can I tell you the last thing you do? The thing, let me say it differently. The thing that you definitely don't do is follow your heart, because it's deceitful and desperately sick, the Bible says. I'm not going to follow my heart. I'm going to follow God's heart. I'm going to follow his word. I'm not going to embrace my emotions if my emotions are wrong. I'm going to embrace the word of God because he's the source of wisdom in my life. There are things that you've had to learn. Some were the easy way. Some was the hard way. And some the tragic way, in that you didn't learn from others and you didn't even learn from your own mistakes, and you're still living this life and making decisions that you don't want to make. And you think, how did I end up here? My wife and I know somebody very, very dear to us. Big dreams, big goals when they were younger. And they haven't lived it at all. And we are brokenhearted for them. They're not living the life they dreamed about. But can I tell you, they are living the life. They're living that life because of all of the choices that they've made. And the choices that they made were not wise, but they were unteachable. See, they couldn't learn the easy way or even the hard way. They're learning the tragic way. I don't want you to live life like that. Even more, God doesn't want you to live life like that. Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Well, you build your best life, and it's a life of wisdom. I want to teach you several things, just three things about this. First of all, write this down, that wisdom is a journey. It is a series of good choices. If you have a really good day one day, you're like, hey, Pastor Nelson, I did it. I made a good choice. Good for you. Do it tomorrow too. And the next day and next week and next month and next year and for the rest of your life. Because wisdom is not a choice. Wisdom is a journey. Wisdom is not just one decision. It is a series of good decisions. Everybody see that? Let me show you this in scripture. James 1:4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And you think, well, that's a good verse. Well, right before that, it says, your faith is going to be tested. New song, your faith is going to be tested. In fact, most of you can already think of stories right now where your faith has been tested. My faith is tested almost every single day of my life and probably every day of my life. My faith is tested. I told you this, I can either live in fear or live in faith, and I just choose faith. And this is what the Bible says, when your faith is being tested, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So I need to persevere in the faith. Let me say it a different way. I need to persevere in trusting God so much that I always lean in his direction, that I always embrace his word. I have to have so much faith. I have to trust in God so much, persevere in the faith so much that every decision I make is based upon the character and the nature and the will of God and the word of God. And all of a sudden, you would be surprised at the things you don't have to pray about because God's word is so clear on how to live life. So I persevere in the faith. How do we grow in faith? We grow in faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So as soon as you get to know God better and better and better, you get to know him more and more, your faith will grow and you'll start making better decisions and you persevere in the faith and it will lead to maturity, completeness in Christ. Everybody, I'm trying to help you out here. This is transformational. So you're not just making a good decision today, you're making a good decision every day. You're making good decisions all week, all month, all year, because wisdom is a journey. It's not a moment in time. Everybody in this room has made good decisions at times, but that doesn't mean you're living in wisdom, because wisdom is a series of good, let me say it differently, a series of biblical choices. Everybody with me so far? So you have to choose God's word every day. Every day, I just choose the word of God every day. My faith is being tested. I'm choosing the word of God every day. Every day, I want to live like Jesus lived every day. I'm going to be faithful to it. I'm going to persevere in it. And then in doing so, you'll live a life of wisdom. Everybody, I'm teaching way better than you're amening today. I promise you that. This is good stuff. I'm telling you, this is transformational, isn't it? If you don't pat me on the back, I'll pat myself on the back. All right. The second thing. You've got to, if you want to build your best life, you've got to cooperate with God's growth process. Because no matter who you are and where you are in this life, you ain't there yet. You're not done yet. God's not finished with you yet. You haven't learned it all yet. You need to grow some more. I'll tell you this, the good news is I am not who I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. I'm better than I've ever been before. But I'm not nearly as good as I'm going to be 10 years from now. Because I'm going to keep growing in the faith. I'm going to keep making wise decisions. I'm going to keep pursuing God first. Everybody see that? So yeah, I've come a long way, but I'm not done growing. And you're not either. In fact, the older I get, the more I realize the less I know. It's true. And I think, wow, God, I need you now more than ever. See, when you're in your 20s, you think you got the whole world figured out. You don't. So you got to cooperate with God's growth process. Watch this, 1 Timothy 4. Now, verse 12, let me set this up. Verse 12 of chapter 4, Timothy's charged with setting an example in all areas of his life, in every area of he's saying, hey, listen, live the life, like the real authentic Christian life. Be an example in every single aspect of your life. So he's saying, Timothy, be an example in your words, in your actions, in your thoughts, in your teachings. Be an example. Verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time that you watched your doctrine closely? When was the last time? You might not even know, you might not even remember this, but I promise you, if you're sitting down, you know, in the evenings and watching a movie, you are being taught false theology. You're being indoctrinated by things that are simply not true. Did you know that? When was the last time that you were watching a movie, for instance? And again, I'm not against movies. In fact, we just had a little family movie night last night. So I'm certainly not against movies. But when was the last time you watched a movie and you hear something and you said, oh, that's not true. That's not true. Because the Word of God says. Do you do that? Because in today's world, whatever Timothy is being taught, we can still be taught. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Let me say it this way. Do not let culture indoctrinate you on how to think and how to speak and how to live. Do not, I said this last week, do not get your theology from social media. You will be all types of messed up. We discover who God is through his word. Everybody get that? Okay, so cooperate with God's growth process. And I promise you, it's a process to mature in the faith, to go to God first. And then number three, don't allow failures to stop you. Don't allow failures to stop you. How do you build your best life? Well, wisdom is a journey. It's a series of biblical choices. Also, it's a growth process that God will continue to work things out in your life. He'll show you things and teach you things. And your job is to be obedient to the Word of God and obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Remember, everybody, you are being refined into who God wants you to be. So let him refine you. Let him refine you. Cooperate with him. If he says, hey, don't do that, you're to say, okay, God, I won't do that. If he says, hey, you need to do that, you say, okay, God, I'll go do that. You see what I'm saying? You cooperate with God. And part of the cooperation with God is getting to know him better, getting to know his word better. So I'm going to study. I'm going to worship. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to cooperate with his growth process. Actually, church is part of that. Did you know that? The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. And you're here today. I'm proud of you. You're here today. Why? It's part of the growth process. You need moments like this. And the third thing is, don't let failure stop you. Well, Pastor, I have been so stupid. Yeah, we all have. We all have. Well, Pastor, you don't even know what I did yesterday. And I would say, well, you don't know what I did yesterday. Like, whatever it is, yesterday's in our past. See, what's this, everybody? Proverbs 24:16. Here's what I'm getting at. Proverbs 24:16, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Here's the point. You've fallen, haven't you? Can I tell you something else? You're not done yet. And I don't mean that prophetically. I'm not speaking that. I'm just saying we have a sin nature. We battle with temptations, and sometimes we fail. So we fall down. But the Bible says the righteous, even though they fall seven times, they get back up. I say it this way, everybody. Many of you have heard me say it like this, that we are not known. Christians are not known as the perfect people. we are known as a getting back up people. So if you know me, I'm not a perfect guy, but I am a getting back up guy. I am going to get back up. I'm going to brush myself off. I'm going to look at that sin, that thing in my life that I said I would never do, and then I did it. I'm never going to say that again. Then I said it again. I'm never going to do that again. I'm never going to treat my wife like that again. Well, sometimes I do. And so I, in fact, just over the last few days, I had to go back to my wife. Babe, I'm sorry about that. Like, I'm trying to do better. And thankfully, she knows I'm trying to do better. But how many have ever failed your spouse before? All you married people should have got your hands up. That would have given you points, too. They're like, yeah, it's about time you admit that. All right. See, we still fail. But what I found out is I just get back up again, brush myself off. I go to God first. When we mess up, we own up. I'm going to go to God first. God, forgive me for that. I want to live in right relationship with you. I don't want to live. I don't want to be stupid. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to be sinful. So, Lord, help me with that. And then if it's another person involved, hey, babe, would you forgive me for that? Or sometimes, you know, I've had to apologize to my children far more than once. Because they found out at a pretty early age, their dad wasn't perfect. And I found out the best thing I could do is, son, daughter, I'm sorry. Your dad messed that up. Would you forgive me? And they do. They love me. They're going to forgive me. So I've owned up to it. Now this is what I do. I just leave it in the past because that's what it's part of now. So I'm not going to let it continually hang over my head. I'm just moving on. Why? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? John 3:17, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world could be saved. So you're not to live a life under self-condemnation. I'm such a bad person every day. I'm such a bad person. I'm such a loser. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not abundant life that Jesus came to bring you. Abundant life is, you know what? I have made some really dorky decisions in my past, but they're in my past. And thankfully, my past, all of my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. God chooses to forget them. They are in my past. I'm going to leave them there. I'm moving forward in Christ Jesus. I'm going to worship him. Instead of living a life of guilt, I'm going to live a life of gratitude. I'm going to worship him with all my heart, give him all of my attention, give him all of my affection. I'm going to stand in awe of him. And I'm going to ask him, Lord, would you help me to live this life the way that you've called me to live it? I need wisdom because I can be stupid. And God says, oh, I got some wisdom for you. And he gives it to whoever asks. How many needs wisdom in your life today? Me too. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom, I pray. Give me wisdom. New Song, just make that personal. In all sincerity, God, I need wisdom. Give it to me. I'm asking for it, Lord. You said you would give it without finding fault. I know I don't deserve it, Lord, but I'm asking for it. And you're so good. You're so gracious. You freely give it to whoever asks. Well, I'm asking, Lord, for wisdom. And I receive it now by faith because your word promises it belongs to me. So now help me walk in wisdom. Help us to walk in wisdom. Not just in a moment, not just for an hour, but every hour of every day for the rest of our lives. Help us to walk in wisdom. Help us to put you first in all things at all times. So we go to you, Father, as the source of wisdom. We look up before we look around. We look to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith, and we thank you for helping us be more like your son, Jesus. Don't stop now, Lord. Help us every single day. Help us every day, Lord, to be like Jesus. We pray it in his name. If you pray that prayer, say amen.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.